We're checking in on the health of the timber industry in our state here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin pulp and paper is big business, an $18 billion industry in pre-COVID times, employing more than 30,000 workers. That's from a state report produced last year by the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point. But the supply chain is struggling after the Verso mill went dark in Wisconsin Rapids this summer, putting about 900 people out of work. Do you work in logging or at a mill or in another aspect of the supply chain? What effects is the pandemic having on your business connected to timber? We're at 800-642-1234. Henry Schinnebeck is executive director of the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association based in Rhinelander. Henry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, give us a sense of how this timber industry is doing here in Wisconsin amid the pandemic.
Well, it's been kind of a bit of a roller coaster to start with. You know, the pandemic really was having an impact before the Verso mill closed, you know, and you started seeing in March, you know, as the stay-at-home orders were being issued, nobody really knew what to expect. And we saw quite a slowdown in the amount of wood that manufacturers were consuming.
Well, it was the toilet paper saga.
Well, I'm still baffled by that one. But, you know, that part of the paper industry is absolutely going great guns, producing all they can produce. And, you know, we're still seeing some shortages on the shelves and some limits as to how much you can buy and that type of thing. I'm still a little bit baffled by that one, but I think the whole industry is, you know, but then the writing industry is the one that's really taken the hit as people were staying home, magazines weren't being bought, that type of thing. And that part of the paper industry was struggling a little bit, probably for the last year and a half, maybe a little bit longer. And, you know, the building industry as well, Wisconsin has a lot of, manufacturers like Louisiana Pacific that make building products and that type of thing, and that came to a little bit of a slowdown, and there was a lot of uncertainty, but as we're seeing now, as people are staying home, they're doing a lot of projects, and building materials are actually moving pretty good.
Well, yeah, lumber is picking up. I see that, you know, that there are some strong sales there for lumber. Is that because people are building homes and doing home improvement?
Yeah, I think they're doing home improvements. You know, if you have, you know, in Rhinelander here, I have some of the local stores like the Home Depots and the Menards. They've always been kind of busy, but it's unbelievable. They had to start, you know, placing limits on how many people could be in the store and that type of thing. And I think people are just finding ways to use their time and making investments in their homes, which is good. And, you know, doing a lot of home improvement projects that maybe were being put off. You know, and you have young families now that are very involved in sports and stuff that takes a lot of time to travel and be involved in all those things. And we've seen that slow down quite a bit. And so they basically have time to do other things.
We're talking with Henry Schinnebeck, who is Executive Director of the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association. We're discussing the state of the timber industry amid COVID and how different aspects of the supply chain are doing. With your insights, do you work at a mill? How is it going? Is your mill threatening to close or to slow down? Maybe that the mill is really picking up due to more consumer demand for products like paper towels or toilet paper. Join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. I mean, Henry, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more because we're still seeing a paper towel shortage going on. And here we are in September. What is the issue here with things like paper towels and toilet paper?
You know, to the best of my knowledge, we've got like 34 paper mills in the state of Wisconsin. And some of those are geared toward printing paper, that type of thing. And you have a lot of them that are making the personal paper products. And I think that, you know, consumers are just buying a lot more. And maybe that has to do with being home more. They're using more product that typically they were maybe using where they worked or that type of thing, or maybe because they're not working, but you know, and those mills are running wide open, doing the best they can to keep up with the demand. And one of the issues is that, you know, like the Verso mill that closed, they were doing printing paper. It takes a long time. If they wanted to convert that mill to something else, it takes a long time to convert it, and millions of dollars to put different equipment in for producing different types of paper. So I guess for now, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with manufacturing, if they can somehow improve that or add another manufacturing facility or, you know,
let's talk about the Verso situation. So, you know, the context here is in June, Verso announces, it's a company based in Ohio, announces it's going to indefinitely idle its mills in Wisconsin Rapids and in Duluth, Minnesota. And this closure of both of these plants is more than 1,000 people in their jobs. Tell us what led to this decision. Is it all about, you know, just what the mill produces, and that is, you know, paper that goes into magazines and the like?
Yeah, that had a lot to do with it. You know, as I said earlier, they were struggling a little bit with the paper industry as far as the printing industry and that type of thing, and the product they were making. And I think when the COVID stay-at-home orders started coming in, people just weren't out. They weren't going to the stores. They weren't purchasing the magazines off the shelf. And that really, I think, kind of speeded up their decision to close the mills, you know, idle them down. It's just one of those things where they're supply and demand. The warehouses were full of paper, and, you know, you can only sustain making a product so long if there's no market for it. And I think it was just a good business decision on their part, as far as their investors and stuff go, that they had to idle that mill down and the Duluth mill as well.
Do you know anything there about the Wisconsin Rapids situation? Are they idling it and just keeping up the mill itself, or are they selling it for parts and dismantling the mill? What is the situation?
Yeah, they have the mill up for sale. There's a group called Mollis and Company. They're actually in charge of selling the mill. They don't plan to tear it down, to the best of my knowledge. And it's our understanding, working with the Wisconsin Rapids Together group and Representative Krug and Senator Teston and others, that there are some interested parties in the mill. You know, I mean, that would be the worst thing, is if it was tore down and sold for scrap, that it's very hard to bring an industry like that back. And being that they are probably the largest wood consumer in this region of raw material, that would put a real hardship on forest health in the state of Wisconsin. That mill consumes probably, so Wisconsin produces, according to the latest figures, about 2.8 million cords of wood a year. That's very, very sustainable. We're still growing two times more trees than we're harvesting at that level. And they bought about 25% of that.
That's a big chunk of the market.
That's a big chunk of the market, huge chunk of the market.
We're discussing the state of the timber industry amid the pandemic economic fallout with Henry Schinnebeck. He heads up the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association. Can the forest industry survive a recession? Did your mill bounce back after the Great Recession? What state and federal resources does the timber industry need right now in Wisconsin? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, more conversation here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing the state of the timber industry here in Wisconsin amid the economic downturn brought on by the pandemic. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a state study last year, we lead the nation in the number of paper mills and the number of workers. We export pulp and paper products to dozens of countries around the world. What is the situation now, especially with the Verso mill closure in Wisconsin Rapids we've been talking about? Did you work for the Verso mill? What are you doing now? Is your mill cutting back hours or finding that it can't keep up amid the pandemic? Share what you know about the market conditions around pulp and paper at 800-642-1234. Henry Schinebeck leads the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association and stays with us. So, Henry, back to Wisconsin Rapids and the Verso situation. What effect is that having on Rapids?
Well, I when I'm looking at the economic data down there, even to the counties right around there and stuff, you know, it's in over $500 million of taxes and different things that they're going to see as a loss coming up. And, you know, we've talked to some of the workers there, and, of course, a lot of them are looking for their jobs or maybe being retrained and that type of thing. So it's really really pushes us a little bit to get that mill back up and running as quickly as we possibly can. And when you look at the logger side of it, there were over 500 loggers that had a contract to supply that mill with wood. And then you start adding in the truckers. Well, that's over 2,000 log trucks that are hauling. And between that and Duluth, you know, we figured easily 3,000 loggers and truckers were impacted by the closing of those two mills. And then, of course, you start adding in and doing a multiplier. You've got equipment dealers that sell only logging equipment, provide services. You have all the fuel stops, that type of thing. You know, there's just no activity going in there right now. And we've got members that are idled, have been idled since March, and haven't done any production at all. And when the logging industry has changed quite a bit. You know, we've gone from being really labor intensive to being technology driven. A lot of the harvesting equipment has high technology in it. It's a one person operation to cut the tree down, cut it to length, sort it to the best, highest use and highest possible value. And so it's changed quite a bit, but all that equipment comes with a very high cost. You're looking at, you know, for just basically a two-man operation, probably $1.5 million investment, and these guys get paid by production. If they're not producing a cord of wood, delivering it to the mill, and in return getting paid for that, they have no income coming in. And it's specialized equipment, so you can't, it's not possible really just to convert it to maybe doing dirt work or that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know,
what do I do now? Yeah, the closure of one mill permeates so many aspects of the economy that we may not even think about. Let's bring in a call now. Troy is joining us from Neillsville this morning. Hi, Troy.
Morning, Kate. How are you?
Doing well. What can you provide here? What's your perspective?
Well, it's been very interesting with the closure of the Rapids paper mill. My family has been supplying pulpwood to that mill for the last 60 plus years, and I'm a third generation timber harvester, and we've had to repurpose and retool, and hopefully we can survive this shutdown.
What are you doing now, Troy, as the mill is closed?
We are just harvesting for other paper mills at the time, which do not take the volume that the Verso mill did.
How is that going for you?
Very rough, to say that. At least.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of be the last man standing, I guess you would say, you know.
How important is it for you to carry on this tradition in your family, this tradition that's gone on for generations of supplying the industry?
I just feel like it's in my blood almost, kind of like farming. And, you know, I grew up around our timber harvesting and our sawmill and all that stuff. And it's just great pride, you know, and supplying that industry like that.
Troy, thank you for bringing that family perspective. Henry, you know, Troy being a third generation timber harvester and really having to retool in these unprecedented times, what would you tell him?
Well, I know we've talked, and you know, a lot of times, as Troy mentioned, this is for a lot of people, a lot of our members, actually, I'm a third generation logger myself, and our son, our oldest son, started logging here probably about 2 or 3 years ago after being in Alaska for a few years. And it is part of your blood. It's your tradition. It's your way of life. And a lot of times I don't think the public really understands what forest management does and what sustainable forest management does in the state of Wisconsin. You know, we've got some of the best forest in the United States in Wisconsin. We don't have the fires that they have out west because a lot of it's been sustainably managed. And the last thing you want to do as a logger is run out of trees, right? Mm. And that's why we're so passionate about making sure that our forest health is maintained. And we can only do that through guys like Troy that are doing the work to do the management. You know, the forest will eventually take care of itself, but we can really sustain that much better by doing that forest management. You know, and for guys like Troy, all we can tell them right now is hopefully they can retool, like he said, and you know, work at something else for a while. You have to do what you have to do to survive. And I've been in that position myself where I've had to go out and do other work. And I know a lot of guys have repurposed and they really need to stay in touch with their financial institution. You know, the people that are financing all this high-tech equipment, they need to know what's going on. And communicating with them is a key part to surviving through this because, you know, you might have to extend your loan. You might have to do different things and make interest-only payments for a while. And hopefully in the meantime, somebody's looking at that mill to maybe purchase it. Other groups are looking at it to maybe purchase it. We're looking for new opportunities. You know, there's a lot of discussion about cross-laminated timber and why aren't we utilizing some of our forest products that we're growing here for that type of product. So there's a lot of things in the works, but they all take time to develop. And, you know, when that mill, guys were already suffering a little bit from COVID, from the pandemic, and then when the mill shut down, that just really added to that, you know, to the stress that's being placed on these guys.
To the stress of the industry. I want to reintroduce you. Henry Schinebeck heads up the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association. It's based in Rhinelander, and we're checking in on the health of the timber industry as the Versal mill shut down over the summer. Let's go to Carol now, joining us from Kimberly. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning. My father was employed at the original Kimberly Clark mill when they shut down. And I think that the mills are one of the last kind of employers that really people make a long-term commitment to. They don't go to their work for 2 years and go look for a different job. These are jobs that people make their commitment to. And when Kimberly Clark shut down, my father had been there for almost 25 years, but not old enough to retire. So his skill level, the world had changed in the 25 years that he had made his commitment to Kimberly Clark Mill. And so when they shut down and he had to go find a different job, he had a skill set that was not adapted to a different world. And that was very, very hard on our family.
Carol, thank you for calling. Henry, finding that transferable skill set in this industry, very difficult. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Carol. It is, and just like Troy said, it's part of your blood. It's in your veins, and it's just a tradition that you've carried on for most of my life. I mean, my grandfather was a logger. My dad logged. My grandfather ran logging camps way back, and
do you know?
It gets in your blood, and I sit in the office now. I've been at this position for about 12 or 13 years, and I still get the urge to go out. In fact, I do go out sometimes on our son's operation and cut some wood because it's just part of who you are. It's part of your DNA.
Do you know how the state is helping retrain workers who have been laid off from Verso and other mills?
I do not. Haven't really been engaged in that part of it for the mill workers themselves and what they're doing. You know, we primarily as an organization, we represent loggers and truckers and landowners.
Sure.
And actually Versal was a member of the mill because we work on a lot of forestry related issues. But I just don't know the answer to that and how they're...
Very quickly, I know you formed a co-op. In the last few seconds we have, what is the goal of forming a co-op?
Well, we're looking at the multi-stakeholder co-op model as potentially having ownership of that mill or perhaps some other type of wood-consuming mill. It's a little bit of a control-your-own-destiny type of thing, you know, and we're looking at long-term commitment. If you look at our forest products industry over the last 15, 20 years, the Mead families that own Consolidated Paper, that's not the normal business model anymore. It's, you know, companies come in, or investment groups, whatever, come in and they buy a mill like Verso. They run it 5 to 7 years. That's the average life. And they turn around and they sell it. We're trying to figure out a way through the cooperative. Can we make a long-term commitment here that that mill is going to be in place for 30, 40, 50 years and be much more sustainable with our loggers and in our timber industry and sustainable forest health?
Henry, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity.
Henry Schinnebeck is Executive Director of the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association. Coming up, we talk with our rural communities reporter, Rob Menser. That's after a news update on the Ideas Network.